Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and this episode is the first in a series of short answer question podcasts covering medicine. In this series, we're going to be covering the whole of the Zero to Finals medicine content in question form, starting with cardiology. If you find these questions helpful, you can find these questions, plus many more multiple choice questions, extended matching questions, and digital flashcards, and other resources at members.zerotofinals.com. The members site helps you track all your learning and your question scores so that you know you're ready when your exams come around. I really think the members site is an incredible resource for learning the medicine and surgery content at any stage of medical school or for postgraduate exams. It costs £9.60 a month and you can cancel at any time. So why not head over there now, give it a try for a month and see what you think. I'm pretty confident that you'll find it really useful and it will become your go-to resource for learning medicine and testing yourself. But for now, let's get started with these cardiology questions. Chapter 1. Cardiology Short Answer Questions. Question 1. What two categories can the risk factors for cardiovascular disease be grouped into? Modifiable and non-modifiable. Question 2. How much aerobic activity is recommended per week by the UK Chief Medical Officer's guidelines from 2019? ¥150 at moderate intensity or ¥75 at vigorous intensity. Question 3. How much strength training does the UK Chief Medical Officer's guidelines from 2019 recommend? At least 2 days per week. Question 4. What does the Q Risk 3 score estimate? The percentage risk that a patient will have a stroke or myocardial infarction in the next 10 years. Question 5. What Q-Risk 3 threshold is used for when to offer statins for primary prevention? Above 10%. Question 6. Which patients are offered statins for primary prevention without calculating the Q-Risk 3 score? Patients with chronic kidney disease or those with type 1 diabetes for more than 10 years or aged over 40. Question 7. What is the initial statin choice and dose for primary prevention of cardiovascular disease? Atorvastatin 20 milligrams. Question 8. What follow-up blood tests should be arranged after starting statins? A lipid profile and liver function tests. When should these be arranged? 3 months after starting the statins. Question 9. How do statins work? They reduce cholesterol production in the liver by inhibiting HMG-CoA reductase. Question 10. Give 4 rare but significant side effects of statins. Myopathy, rhabdomyolysis, type 2 diabetes, and hemorrhagic stroke. Question 11. What class of antibiotics significantly interact with statins? Macrolides, for example, clarithromycin. Question 12. What options are available for lowering the cholesterol other than statins? Ezetimibe, bempedoic acid, and PCSK9 inhibitors, for example, alirocumab. Question 13. What medications are used for secondary prevention of cardiovascular disease? Antiplatelet medications, for example, aspirin, atorvastatin, 80 mg, a beta blocker, usually bisoprolol, and an ACE inhibitor. Question 14. When would clopidogrel be the first-line antiplatelet for secondary prevention? Peripheral arterial disease and ischemic stroke. Question 15. What is the inheritance of familial hypercholesterolemia? Autosomal dominant. Question 16. What clinical sign is part of the diagnostic criteria for familial hypercholesterolemia? Tendon xanthomata. Question 17. What investigation options are available to help support a diagnosis of angina? Cardiac stress testing, CT coronary angiography, and invasive coronary angiography. Question 18. What medication is used for immediate symptomatic relief of angina? Sublingual glycerol trinitrate, or GTN. What are the main side effects? Dizziness and headache. Question 19. What are the first-line medical options for long-term symptomatic relief of angina? Beta blockers, for example, bisoprolol, and calcium channel blockers, for example, diltiazem or verapamil. Question 20. What surgical options are available to treat angina? Percutaneous coronary intervention, or PCI, and coronary artery bypass graft, or CABG. Question 21. What condition causes angina-like chest pain without the presence of coronary artery disease when investigated with angiograms? Cardiac syndrome X. Question 22. What are the three types of acute coronary syndrome? Unstable angina, ST elevation myocardial infarction, or STEMI, and non-ST elevation myocardial infarction, or NSTEMI. Question 23. What are the branches of the left coronary artery? The circumflex artery and the left anterior descending artery. Question 24. Which comorbidity increases the risk of a silent myocardial infarction? Diabetes. Question 25. What ECG changes suggest a STEMI? ST segment elevation or new left bundle branch block. Question 26. What ECG changes may be associated with an NSTEMI? ST segment depression and T wave inversion. Question 27. What do pathological Q waves on an ECG suggest? A deep infarction involving the full thickness of the heart muscle, which is called transmural. Question 28. Which ECG leads are affected when acute coronary syndrome affects the left coronary artery? Leads 1, AVL, and V3 to V6. What about the left anterior descending artery? V1 to V4. What about the circumflex artery? Leads 1, AVL, and V5 to V6. What about the right coronary artery? Leads 2, 3, and AVF. Question 29. What blood test is used to detect myocardial ischemia in acute coronary syndrome? Troponin. Question 30. What is the immediate management of suspected acute coronary syndrome? You can use the C-PAIN mnemonic. C for call an ambulance, P for perform an ECG, A for aspirin 300 milligrams, I for intravenous morphine for pain, and N for nitrates, meaning GTN. Question 31. What options are considered in patients with a STEMI presenting within 12 hours of the symptoms starting? Percutaneous coronary intervention or PCI or thrombolysis. Question 32. What is the medical management of an NSTEMI? You can use the Batman mnemonic. B for base angiography and PCI on the GRACE score, A for aspirin 300 milligrams, T for ticagrelor 180 milligrams, or an alternative antiplatelet depending on the circumstances, M for morphine, A for antithrombin therapy with fondaparinux, and N for nitrate, meaning GTN. Question 33. What investigation is required following an acute coronary syndrome to assess the functional damage of the heart? Echocardiogram. Question 34. What is the typical duration of dual antiplatelet therapy following myocardial infarction? And followed by aspirin alone indefinitely. Question 35. What are the complications of myocardial infarction? You can use the DREAD mnemonic. D for death, R for rupture of the heart septum or papillary muscles, E for edema, meaning heart failure, A for arrhythmias and aneurysms, and D for Dressler's syndrome. Question 36. What complication presents 2 to 3 weeks after an acute myocardial infarction with pleuritic chest pain and a low-grade fever? Dressler's syndrome. What might be heard on auscultation in this condition? A pericardial rub. Question 37. How much fluid is normally contained within the pericardial sac? Less than 50 milliliters. Question 38. In patients with pericarditis, what makes the chest pain worse? Deep inspiration and lying down. What makes the pain better? Sitting forwards. Question 38. What ECG changes may occur in pericarditis? Saddle-shaped ST elevation and PR depression. Question 40. What might be seen on blood tests in pericarditis? Raised inflammatory markers, for example, CRP or ESR. Question 41. What is the usual first-line treatment for pericarditis? NSAIDs, for example, aspirin or ibuprofen. Question 42. What medication may be used longer term, for example, 3 months, in patients with pericarditis to reduce the risk of recurrence? Colchicine. Question 43. What medical emergency may occur as a complication of pericarditis? Cardiac tamponade. What is the initial treatment of cardiac tamponade? Pericardiocentesis. Question 44. What does cardiac output refer to? It's the volume of blood ejected by the heart each minute. Question 45. What does the stroke volume refer to? The volume of blood ejected by the left ventricle during each systolic contraction. Question 46. Which blood test is used in the diagnosis of heart failure? B-type natriuretic peptide, or BNP. Question 47. Which imaging investigation is first line for assessing heart failure? An echocardiogram. Question 48. What chest X-ray findings may be seen in acute left ventricular failure? Cardiomegaly, upper lobe venous diversion, bilateral pleural effusions, fluid in the interlobar fissures, and fluid in the septal lines, which are called Kerley lines. Question 49. Which medication may be used in the initial management of acute left ventricular failure with pulmonary edema? Loop diuretics, for example, intravenous furosemide. Question 50. Which class of medication may be used to improve the cardiac output in patients with acute left ventricular failure after optimizing the fluid status? Inotropes, for example, dobutamine. Question 51. What term describes the percentage of blood in the left ventricle that's squeezed out with each ventricular contraction? The ejection fraction. What is considered a normal result for the ejection fraction? Above 50%. Question 52. What term describes breathlessness when lying flat that's relieved by sitting or standing upright? Orthopnea. Question 53. What term describes the experience caused by heart failure of suddenly waking up at nighttime with a severe attack of shortness of breath, cough, and wheezing? Paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea. Question 54. What classification system is used to grade the severity of symptoms in heart failure? The New York Heart Association, or NYHA, classification. How many stages are there? 4 stages, where class 1 means no limitation on activity and class 4 means symptomatic at rest. Question 55. What non-medical program is offered to patients with heart failure to improve their symptoms and exercise tolerance? Cardiac rehabilitation. Question 56. What are the first-line medications for heart failure? You can use the ABAL, A-B-A-L mnemonic. A for ACE inhibitor, for example, ramipril. B for beta blocker, for example, bisoprolol. A for aldosterone antagonist, for example, spironolactone or eplerenone. And L for loop diuretic, for example, furosemide or bumetanide. Question 57. What is the name for treatment with a triple chamber pacemaker in severe heart failure with an ejection fraction of less than 35%? Cardiac resynchronization therapy, or CRT. So thanks for listening to this first part in the cardiology questions series. As always, a big thank you to Harry for perfectly editing the podcast. I would recommend heading over to members.zerotofinals.com to have a look at all the questions that are there, especially if you like these questions podcasts. And I hope you join us for part 2 of the cardiology series in the next episode of the Zero to Finals podcast.